Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Happy birthday, church. And good morning to you, Lord. So for the last couple of weeks, I've experienced youth baseball and or softball as a kind of metaphor for a spiritual journey. Folks of all different kinds gather together to hope that their child at least gets the bat on the ball and makes it safe to first base. Younger siblings, babies, and even a dog or two make up the crowd. Intermittent voices of parents, grandparents, and peers are shouting to the kids on the field, "It's okay, you'll get it next time. Shake it off. You're doing good. Good eye," when they don't swing at a ball. Conversation at all levels is not quiet, and not all about baseball. At one point, I'm sitting in my purple folding chair with my daughter next to me, and next to her is a row of similar chairs, but not purple. So I turned, so there's a lot going on and a lot of conversation happening. At one point, I'm sitting there and I turn to my daughter and I say, "What's the score?" "I don't know," is the reply. She turns to the woman on her right and asks, "What's the score?" "I don't know." It struck me that the score was not the most important part of the game. And God doesn't keep score. This being the birthday of the church is a symbolic designation that is rooted in the Pentecost story, where not only was there an underlying understanding of one another, no matter their language or their heritage. On this day, it is said that 3,000 came to believe that Jesus was their Messiah. Imagine, the disciples are still hiding away, maybe in the upper room or wherever they are. They're still afraid. They're still confused. They still don't get it all. And it's not an act of courage that brings the disciples out. It's a fact that there's an important Jewish holiday that they want to attend, that they should attend. It's not an act of discipleship that they went there, and it wasn't that act that was important. Well, it was, because what it resulted in. So the Pentecost is a Jewish celebration. And it occurs 50 days after the same as our time between Easter and giving of the commandments, the Torah, to Moses. This is the giving of the law that is so important to them, and this is what drew the disciples out. It's also a celebration of harvest. But that's sort of secondary to the idea that the law and the Torah are the most important parts of their lives, the focus part of their lives. And that on Mount Sinai, they received these rules, these commandments. The disciples didn't go there to preach the gospel. They went to celebrate. Members of the crowd mocked them and accused them of being drunk. Peter courageously rebukes them, and he is filled with the Holy Spirit, and they are filled with what Jesus promised to them, for the advocate has come among them. And I can't even imagine, and perhaps you've tried and failed, what it was like. All these people gathered together, and one spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Advocate, was there surrounding them, protecting them, and caring for them. So Peter becomes then not only the supposed head of the church, but Peter's it. We have to be courageous. So not only did it prepare those disciples to go forth into the world, But the Holy Spirit prepares us as disciples to go forth into the world and declare the gospel, the good news that Jesus is Messiah. So today is day 11, the final day of the ministry of Thy Kingdom Come. This is not the final day of our call to pray for others and for ourselves. Today's prayer suggestion as we pray for our five is, in praying for your five today, ask God for opportunities to share God's love with them. Ask the Spirit of God to help you speak in ways that they are right for each person. It's about us today, too. It's about our relationship with the people that we have prayed for. And it is about our relationship with the Holy Spirit. So as I wrote on Thursday, that my thinking and my prayer life have been inspired by the devotions and the videos and prayers from the kingdom, Thy Kingdom Come. And it brought me around to asking myself, what does the Lord's Prayer really mean to me? What does it really mean to you? It's the one thing that I can remember all the way through by heart. I say it all the time. And sometimes I just say it. And now I have this awareness that when I say it, I have to think about what it is that I am saying. Sometimes it's okay and appropriate to start out, "My Father, who art in heaven." But in the context of the prayer and in the context of the understanding of what it was that Jesus, what it is that Jesus teaches us to when we pray this prayer, is the hour. Reminds us that we're not alone, that the hour encompasses all of us, all of God's creation. Sometimes, like I say, I just say it. Sometimes I'm not even sure what it is that I'm thinking about when I say it. I'm trying to be fervent in listening to myself as I pray this prayer and listening to what it is that God is telling me through this prayer. Our Father reminds us that God's presence in the world is for all. Yes, all. Maybe some of those that we don't even like, some of those that we don't approve of. This is sometimes difficult to understand. At least it is for me. How can God possibly love those who bring this chaos instead of peace into the world? God's relationship with the creation is mysterious. Clearly, He created it, and clearly He treasures it. And that's about all I can figure out right now. I just continue to consider the idea that God is everyone's Father, our Father. Remind ourselves, or perhaps God reminds us, that we are part of the hour. Our Father. It's not our job to judge or monitor anyone else's behavior except our own. As a matter of fact, if we are intentional about letting God do God's job and not trying to do it for Him, we will find that we have more room in our spirit, more love in our heart, and find that we have more time to live into who God created us to be. It can be difficult to maintain this state of soul, this state of insight, this state of connection. But we just have to keep trying and keep trusting. And when we trip, we get up and try it again, knowing that the Holy Spirit will help us. So pray for five. That's what we've been doing for the last 11 days. And pray for yourself. Jesus promises that the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in His name, will teach us everything. It will remind all of us what He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The peace that Jesus gives us is not just a quiet place that is peaceful. And when we go to a quiet place, we can find peace. But the peace that surpasses all understanding is not anything that we can find in the world around us. We find it in our relationship with Jesus and our relationships with one another. Now, each Sunday, we have a place in the service where I say, "The peace of the Lord be always with you." And you all say, "And also with you." And then you turn and you greet people. "The peace of God be with you." What does that mean when you say that greeting? Does that peace indeed surpass understanding? Or is it just a word? Sometimes for me, it's just a word. And I don't understand, I don't grasp the importance of what it means to give to our loved ones, our friends, that bit of peace that passes understanding to get them through whatever it is. It's an offering of prayer to one another. Jesus said, "I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. The peace of the Lord be always with you. I do not give it as the world gives. So don't let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." It is the peace of God that passes all understanding that helps us to get through the places, the scary places, the dark places, the alone places. But it's the peace of the Lord that always reminds us of the joy of being in relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.